What are you pursuing? That reading posed that question, doesn't it? It's a simple question, but quite a revealing one, because every one of us is kind of chasing after something. And it might be financial security, career success, recognition, comfort, or some sort of control over our future. And those are not bad things. Some pursuits are obvious and others are quite subtle. But all of them shape our choices and our priorities and ultimately our lives. What we pursue can reveal what we most value in life. What sorts of things do you, as the family and friends of Niamh and Shayla Rain, what are you pursuing for them? Or what do you hope that they will pursue in their lives? When we look around the world today, when we watch the news, it can be a bit depressing, can't it, sometimes? We see the pursuit of many things which are quite damaging in different ways. The pursuit of power, which leads to aggression, domination or oppression. Perhaps the pursuit of great wealth at the expense of others or our planet. The pursuit of the picture-perfect lifestyle. And that burdens others, doesn't it, with really unrealistic expectations or feelings of inadequacy, and imposes impossible standards for us to try and live up to. Are those the things that really matter? Are those the things that we want Shayla Rain and Niamh to pursue? In his letter, we just heard Paul's letter to a young church leader called Timothy. And he writes about our human tendency to pursue the wrong things. Not wrong in that they're sort of bad necessarily, but ultimately because they're not what truly satisfies. Yesterday, our women's rugby team won the World Cup. Did anybody watch that or know that that was? So they gave Canada a bit of a trouncing. And it made me remember how, a good few years back now, when the men's team won the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup. And apparently, if you are old enough to remember, it was on a knife edge, and Johnny Wilkinson scored a drop goal in the dying moments of the match, and England won by a point or something like that. I mean, that is what a professional rugby player pursues their whole life, isn't it? That training for a moment like that. And he said he woke up the next morning and thought, is that it? It's like, what now? We talk about climbing the ladder of success, don't we? But we can sometimes climb the ladder of success only to find that it's leaning against the wrong wall. And Paul writes that we have to try and find out and pursue what really matters. He talks particularly about the love of money and the illusion of worldly gain as being the wrong things to pursue. He urges us not to get caught up in the trap of chasing wealth or temporary satisfaction, but instead to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And he calls us to pursue the things that lead to the life that is truly life. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. So he begins by redefining what real gain is. In the world, gain is money and possessions and status and power and control. But Paul says true gain is found in godliness with contentment. Now, godliness does not mean being perfect. It does mean being devoted to God, living with him at the centre of our lives, letting his word in the Bible to shape our choices and letting his love and grace shape our hearts. And contentment doesn't sort of mean just settling for less. It means learning to find joy and peace, not in what we have, but in who we belong to. Those life-giving relationships we have with loved ones, but especially with God. Because everything else is temporary. You brought nothing into this world and you'll take nothing out. The house, the car, the titles, the money, none of it follows you past the grave. Now, my dear mum and dad are getting a bit older, and they seem to be constantly trying to give us, my brother and sister, sort of our money, their money. Because my mum has this favourite phrase, there are no pockets in shrouds. She keeps saying that, there's no pockets in shrouds. To be clear, money itself isn't the problem. The love of money is the issue, because that's about where your heart is, or rather what has or who has your heart. What are you devoted to? What do you desire more than anything else? Lots of things, not just our money or material wealth, can have our love, our devotion, our desire instead of God. And those become the things that we pursue instead of him. And then that's where the problem comes. Then our contentment goes out the window and we endure all kinds of other griefs, Paul says. And I think that's things like anxiety and dissatisfaction and emptiness. So Paul gives Timothy and all of us a clear command to flee from all of that and pursue other things instead. Instead of pursuing the things that the world tells us are really important and put such great store in, he urges us to continually, relentlessly, with intention and determination, to go after other things. And he says to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Righteousness is about living with integrity and with justice. Godliness, as I've said, is not about being perfect, but it's about having a heart and a life that's orientated towards God. Faith is about trusting God in every season of life. Love, interestingly, it's not just any kind of love. The word that Paul uses there is a very special word that means a sacrificial, Christ-like love for others. Endurance is about holding on and persevering in difficult times. And gentleness is not about being a pushover or a walkover. Gentleness is about having strength under control and being kind in our actions. These are the things, says Paul, that will last. These are the things worth chasing. But it's not always easy to live like that. It can be quite countercultural in a world that doesn't always see these things as being the things to chase after. And that is, I think, why Paul urges Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Because sometimes it will feel like a bit of a battle. But it's a good fight, because the prize is eternal. And if we're flagging, Paul reminds us Christ is coming back. He kind of lifts our eyes above the present to a future time, to Jesus, the one who reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if he's truly king of our lives, then every decision that we make, including what we pursue, it really matters. Because although we're living in this world, we're not living for this world. We're living for him and for his kingdom. And then being truly rich is not about our material wealth, but about using what God blesses us with to bless others. Because the things that we have are not just our own, but tools that God can use for the good of others. And as we seek to help and bless others, we're blessed in so many ways. Not least because we're investing in something greater than this world, treasure in heaven, and taking hold of life that is truly life, a life that is full of contentment, that isn't just empty or shallow, but is fulfilling and real and eternal. I'm sure that's the kind of life that we do hope for, the hope that Niamh and Shailarane will pursue and find for themselves as they grow up. that there'll be those whose lives are characterized by righteousness and godliness, faith and love and endurance and gentleness. But because it isn't always easy, they're going to need others, especially parents and godparents, to do that, to teach them, to pray for them, to model it for them. Because we can't pass on what we don't pursue ourselves. So if we want these children to grow up knowing God, we must be people who pursue God ourselves. If we want them to know peace, we must model contentment. If we want them to value things like kindness and honesty, humility and generosity, then they need to see those things in us, not just on a Sunday, not just when we come to a christening service, but every day. So the baptisms today, they're not just a special moment now for these children. It's a moment for all of us to ask, what am I pursuing in my life? What's the story of my life telling these children, telling others about what's really important? So my prayer is that Neve and Shay Lorraine and every child in our care will grow up seeing adults who model faith, joy, love, and a heart that's free from the endless chasing after the things of this world. I pray that we'll be a community, a church, and a family that helps them see that the greatest treasure in life is not what we have, but who we follow. Amen.